Hello, and welcome to the Super Gay Wedding Podcast.
I'm Cindy Savage, real queer wedding planner at ILS Traveled.
And I'm Amanda Summerlin, super gay wedding photographer at Amanda Summerlin Photography.
We're wedding pros who are gay as fuck.
And we're talking about wedding shit from an LGBTQ perspective.
Super gay wedding, fuck yeah!
Woo!
Hey, Amanda.
Hey, Cindy. What's up?
Do you want to do some pre-show banter shit?
We should probably do some pre-show banter shit.
What should we start with?
What'd you do today?
A lot of jack shit, actually. I'd spent way far too much time scrolling Facebook today, and I'm not sure I accomplished too much of value.
Facebook is the devil. Why are you on Facebook? Aren't they, like, in trouble right now? I haven't looked at the news in, like, a week. I thought I saw something about...
I hate this intro. Can we scrap it and start over?
Hey, Cindy, what's up?
Not too much. How are you?
Want to do some pre-show banter bullshit?
Yeah, let's. Well, what have you been up to today?
Today, I am nursing a sore knee. And let me tell you
Ouch.
Why. For the first
Wait, time, your knee?
My knee, right?
This I thought it was your elbow. Now what'd you do?
Well, the elbow always hurts because cameras are heavy. But this is a new injury, and it's a new, like, hysterical experience.
Is this a home improvement injury?
No, it is a photography-related injury. I've been stepped on the dance floor and elbowed, and I've been drooled on by kids and dogs and all that kind of stuff. But This week, I did an engagement session with a couple, and they wanted their dogs to be photographed as part of the engagement session, right?
Sure.
And the trick was that the dogs didn't all get along, so we had to do it in stages. And
how many dogs were there?
So we had to do two dogs in one photo and one dog in the other, and I like them enough to volunteer to do Photoshop. You have to understand how much I have to like you to volunteer to do Photoshop.
I do understand. But, I mean, I don't know if our listeners do, but I definitely do.
So I volunteered to Photoshop for them because I like them just that much. And so the first photo went fine. And then their better behaved dog came out and he was having an off day. And this dog, who was awesome because he was like half boxer, half pit bull, was like 90 pounds. Just super sweet and friendly and wonderful and like super cool when we were inside. When we got outside, got like way distracted or whatever. So I'm standing there. I've got my camera on the tripod and I'm taking the picture and I go to make a funny noise to get his attention and that just set him off. And he started to at a dead run for the camera. Wow. Right. And I have this great picture of him like with his big eyes like coming right at me. And then he like circles around and he's like running and they're like, oh shit. Because he's the dog that runs, right? And they didn't want to let him go and he got away. And so we're
and he wasn't on a leash.
We're also trying, no, not on a leash. We took the leash off for the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's like making a run for it and I'm trying to help catch him. And so I did this thing that I would totally do for my dog because my dog's 50 pounds and I tried to do a body block when he came running. Did I mention that he was 90 pounds?
You didn't.
He hit me like full body slam, like a linebacker, I guess. I've never played football before, but hit me right in the front of my knees and just, I totally did like a backflip right over him. Just boom. I'm like nothing. He was not slowed by me. I had zero effect on this animal's locomotion. And I was hurt before I could say, what the fuck?
And then it just turned into fuck.
Right. And interestingly, the day before, we had been in the kitchen, me and Jesse, with our dogs, and she had picked up a thing, and Tallulah, her little boxer dog, who's only 50 pounds, had jumped and rammed into my same knee. So it's like two hits on the one knee, and now my knee is sore. So
dogs, man.
But I mean, I got that dog could be a linebacker. I'm pretty sure. It was impressive. But I don't know that I've ever been tackled on the job. So. Have you ever been tackled on the job? Anybody?
No.
No?
I've never been tackled on the job.
Never face planted in somebody's lawn? Just poof.
No.
Sit up spitting out grass?
No.
Well, now you have something.
Thankfully I've not. Now, I mean, I have had several very unpleasant bodily experiences on the job, like in certain outdoor areas that are nature preserves where they're not allowed to spray for mosquitoes. When you, despite offing yourself all day long, you still come home with 1,000 mosquito bites. Or the time I found out the hard way that I'm very, very allergic to Arbol chilies, thanks to a delicious, wonderful taco buffet, which I took home some leftovers of and ate some more of before I found out that Arbol chilies give me head-to-toe hives, which is an excruciating experience.
But they're so good.
They're so fucking good. I'm angry at the universe that I'm allergic to them because they taste so good. And every time I can't, well, you've been with me at a Mexican restaurant where I have to be like, what's safe for me to eat here? Mm-hmm. I'm that asshole person at the table at the restaurant being like, is this a this thing? Can I eat this thing? Can I eat that thing? And I hate that shit. And I hate even more that it's me that has to do it. And I also hate that I can't eat these things because they're so good.
It's only the one thing, you know?
I know. All the other chilies are fine, but Arbol chilies are very popular right now.
Yeah,
all those especially hipsters. In hipster taco joints. And those are also very popular right now. And it makes me sad when I can't eat the Arbol chilies. Because
tacos are the most superior food grip.
Oh, they're so good.
Universe.
Yeah, it's true.
So what'd you do today?
Well, I did not eat tacos, but I did make a delicious mole chicken chili.
I'm really jealous.
Which I ate for dinner with some coconut rice. It was really good. Mm-hmm. And so I just did that. And I've done some work. Not a lengthy list of accomplishments. I have a day job and I mostly dealt with a lot of scheduling shenanigans and annoyances with that today. And then I just kind of got annoyed by working and I scrolled Facebook for most of the afternoon. So I did some Sudoku puzzles also. It's a very exciting day over here.
Okay.
Well, listeners, you've just found out the extreme nerdiness of my life. So welcome. And, you know, it is what it is. I am who I am. There's nothing I can do about it. Well, anyway.
Thanks for making me feel less old today.
We can talk about my sciatica a little bit if you want to.
No, actually.
You don't really? Let's talk about something else. Why don't we talk about who are we talking to today?
We're talking to the amazing Andrea and Tara, who
that's fantastic.
Just about to join us right now.
They sure are.
They're sorting out how to get the audio to work. Well, I was going to tell you, I photographed their wedding a couple of summers ago. Was it two summers now? I've lost
track. Don't ask me. I don't know.
Not muted anymore.
There we are. Gotcha.
Hello.
Hi.
You guys are looking awesome.
Oh, yeah. Something like that.
Glowing energy.
Yeah.
Something like that, too.
So, guys, I want you to meet Cindy.
Hello.
Hi, Cindy.
She's based out of St. Louis. She is an amazing wedding planner.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Together, we are a Super Gay Wedding Podcast. We're here with Andrea and Tara, the most amazing couple ever. At least my favorite couple from Wisconsin currently until I go back this
well,
spring. We'll see.
Way to stroke those egos there, Amanda. Yeah.
I can say these things.
You can take it away.
So anyways, for our listeners, how about you guys introduce yourselves really quick? And
Andrea, originally Wisconsinite.
Originally.
I'm originally from Minnesota.
So what's the distinction? You have slightly different accents.
It's basically the same. I say bubbler. Mm-hmm. She says water fountain, which I think is something you throw a penny into. My dad jokes that Wisconsinites have to call stoplights, stop and go lights, otherwise they won't remember to start going again. Yeah.
I'm a Vikings fan. I'm a Packers fan. It's a house divided. But yeah. We're good.
Yeah, you make it work.
Yeah.
So how did you, from different... very different places. How did you meet each other?
Well, like all amazing couples, we met at a drag show.
Nice.
For real?
A friend, 6'2", who I thought was like a big, burly, manscaped gay dude. Blonde, pretty boy, waxes his eyebrows. picks her up, drops her in front of my feet from on top of his shoulder and says, here, you're nice, make friends. Little did I know, earlier at the bar, she was buying them drinks and turned around to see me pretend kicking Brandon, her friend, because he said, don't kick me. So clearly I went to kick him. And she's like, oh my God, I take him to a lesbian bar and he gets hit on. What the hell? Apparently only straight girls wear scarves. I was wearing a scarf.
It's true.
It was highly confusing for her. But she was dropped at my feet and everything else was history.
Here we are. I've never thought about that ever before. Only straight girls wear scarves.
Well, I'm living proof that's not true.
And yet I cannot think of a single gay woman I've ever seen wearing a scarf.
Well, I'll occasionally put on a scarf when I want to try to pass.
See? We're talking about, like, not the thing you wear to keep your neck warm outside in the cold, but like a scarf. Neck,
like one of those,
like an infinity, like dressy. Like I wear it for work. I mean, I guess technically you could say it's for passing. My guests don't know I'm gay, usually.
But you do have the long hair.
I do. It's really
good. Helps
for people.
And it's very shiny.
Oh, I thank you.
Yeah. Clearly, you're using the good product.
Yeah. Yes, please tell us right now that you're using like dollar store brand something.
Still mine.
Mm-hmm. And so how long ago was it that you two crossed paths at the drag show?
That was 4 years ago. It seems like forever yesterday ago. And forever ago all the same. Yeah.
Well, in lesbian years,
it's like 42, right?
It really is.
Yeah,
it's a really
long 4 years is like a long time.
Date, I did bring her to a U-Haul store. We took a selfie in front of U-Haul. We really did. We snapped and we took a Snapchat in front of a U-Haul and said how all good lesbian days end.
That's kind of.
But you know, they changed that joke a few years ago. Like more than 4 years ago.
And even like my stepsister, who's also a lesbian, tried to be like, oh, you can Venmo me. And I was like, what's Venmo? We don't know.
Wait, what is Venmo?
Right?
No, I'm kidding.
It's like the new PayPal.
Yeah, our kids insist on getting money that way.
I can write you a check. And then there's also the Cash App. Like, well, I don't even understand what the difference is between any of them, frankly.
Yeah, I don't either.
And I don't really care.
We're adults. We have Minion and Lion King checks, okay?
So so obviously on that first date, you didn't decide to get married, but you eventually did decide.
They just moved in on the first date.
Pretty much.
Right. So then it took a little longer. Yeah.
How long did it take you to decide to get married?
Well, okay, so I'm previously divorced, right? Mm-hmm. And she told me, I told her like within a week of meeting her, I was like, yeah, I think it was like first or second date. I was like, yeah, I really don't plan on getting married again. And cause you know, my wife is just amazing. I decided, she's like, you need to propose to me whenever you're ready to delve into this all again. You need to propose to me. And then because everybody deserves a proposal, I will propose back. Cool. So we decided about a year later. And then, I mean, we kind of knew, but we decided about a year later, and then proposals happened, wedding was planned, and ta-da! Yay!
Sounds like it was super easy.
It was, actually, weirdly enough, like, when we were picking out rings, we just happened to be, like, at a jewelry store, and both picked out kind of our own rings, and had them at the house for,
in the safe, and
3-4 months before anything happened with them. When we were ready, I was at a softball game. I had some of her friends help me out. We put up Adam put up a banner and said, Tara, will you marry me? Still in the basement. She was a little bit, I told her I was going to be overly corny and tell her, you know, you're the best catch in my life. But I was a little disappointed to this day, I think, that I didn't actually use that line and instead was just frustrated that people didn't hit their music cues properly. You might be perfectionist.
Maybe.
Maybe.
You can tell about your proposal.
Oh, yeah. No, I did it like, you know, the way everybody should. I did it at a fantasy football draft.
I told you. Sure.
Yeah. Number one draft pick for my entire life.
It was pretty cute. I'm a total a little. So you're not sports fans at all, either one of you?
Yeah.
No.
There was no sports accessories at your engagement session or?
None. So, yeah, we got engaged in August of 2015. Married in September 2016.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty smooth. That's a pretty good transition. date for a couple years, plan a wedding for a year.
Mm-hmm. Told her I had to live with her for 2 years before I'd actually be married.
Apparently that's how long it takes to suss out craziness. 2 years.
Personal experience there. Suss out the crazy.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, sometimes it shows up sooner, but
it's funny. I was just having that conversation with one of our kids recently. I was talking to our son about it. It's like, you know, you should date somebody for at least a year, because it's like everybody can perform for a while, but if you're around them for a year or more, it gives them plenty of opportunity to slip up and let their real crazy out, actually see it and assess it and decide if you can live with that level of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like her crazy.
It's an important decision.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's what's that? That's that Dr. Seuss quote where you, like, you know, meet each other in your crazy matches or whatever. I'm really butchering. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's something about
true love is
your special kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm going to look it up and we'll come back to it later.
All right. But I mean, that's really the best definition of love and, you know, marriage that I've ever read anywhere. I love that quote because that's really what it is. It's like, you're crazy and my crazy, they match. We're going to go with this.
And part of my wife's crazy is always having to match.
Yeah. Match what?
Shoes to shirt to belt to this to that. Yeah. It's
okay. So her, not you guys dressing alike, but her.
No. That's not us matching. Because that
I've
would
tried
not...
that. Because I she think
we're 7-year-old women.
We can that do would that. Be so I'd
probably agree at that point. Like complimentary, you know, like a velour tracksuit for you, one for me. Old and mall walking.
Oh, can we do that for your next photo shoot? Because that would be so cool.
Maybe not the next, but yeah.
One after that. Sure. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about your wedding, because you guys had a super cool wedding. I was just telling Cindy before we got on the air that, you know, oftentimes when people have destination type weddings like yours was, that, you know, I have the option of staying on site or not, and, you know, logistics dictate whether I can or not. And, you know, because of the way my flight was and everything, I couldn't stay where you guys, and it's one of my biggest regrets is that I couldn't stay on the island with you guys, because it was such a great party and I loved all your family and friends, and I'm still like friends with some of them, which is really cool.
My sister's pretty infectious.
Your sister's insane. I love her so much. Yeah.
Good wording for her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love her.
You guys had your wedding on Stouts Island, which mm-hmm. is which lake is it? On which lake?
Red Cedar Lake.
Red Cedar actually. Lake.
And Barron County, Wisconsin. Oh. Oh, look at this. One.
It's almost like we like Amanda Summerlin. You can see the
look at that. That's cool.
And then it's Island of Happy Days. I don't know if you can actually read it because it might be.
Yeah, that's nice. That's a good picture.
Yeah, somebody pretty talented took it.
Yeah.
It's like she knows what she's doing or something.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
We kept trying to feed her alcohol. No, photography's math. Blah,
blah. Yeah. It really is, you guys.
Wisconsin weddings, I feel like alcohol is a must. But
it is at most weddings. It's just that when we're working your weddings, it's better if we're not shit-faced.
Debatable. I mean, I feel like being at a wedding with Amanda Shitface would be very entertaining, but I probably wouldn't have loved the work product as much had she been.
Right, exactly. I mean, Amanda can speak for herself, certainly, but I've had a number of clients that have said, you know, come have a drink with us at the wedding, whatever. And when I first started doing this, sometimes I did that because I was young and I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, like, it's not that I didn't do a good job at those weddings. It's just that when you're the person who's cleaning all the shit up afterwards, once everybody else goes home, it's not actually fun to do that while you're not sober. It's not that much fun to do it while you're sober, but it's less fun if you're a little wasted. So what I do is finish the wedding and then go home and have a glass of wine.
I've got 2 o'clock in the morning. To the occasional habit of, if someone invites me to have a drink with them, I'm like, right before the send off, I'll have a drink with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that, you know, I can still function. But, you know, I'm a cheap date, 2 drinks and I'm done. So we were talking about you.
We were.
I wanted to talk about the logistics of planning your wedding, because you did it on an island. You had to get everybody over there and all that kind of stuff. So was that hard getting all that put together?
So I'm a horrible planner. It slightly verges on OCD, and my wife is on that
I end. Think you meant to say excellent.
Yes, excellent.
No, legitimately, I like the secret to having an amazing wedding is marrying my wife. Like, highly opinionated, but only about certain things. Then, like, she'll give you like 3 or 4 options to be like, okay, we'll pick one of these, and it's like, do I have to? Or like in our invites, you know, like, hey, honey, I've got these 1,400 font choices, which one do you like? And there were legitimately, like, I'm not, no excessive exaggeration, no hyperbole going on here, there were at least 30 different fonts to choose from.
Yeah.
And do you want it, and then you could go ahead and extrapolate from that, do you want it solid block, do you want it rainbow transition within the lettering, do you want your name first, my name first? Like, we thought through legitimately every single option, because she is that prepared. Like, she's an attorney, so she's got to know all the possible outcomes. Nice. And we thankfully, in my old age, I've become a lot more patient, so capable of going through all of those different options together, and weirdly enough came to a lot of the same choices.
So we started with, I mean, our first and foremost thing, our biggest thing, obviously location, that always starts everything, venue and whatnot. But the plan for me was, I want everything planned 6 months before our wedding, so I cannot have to stress up to those 6 months. All I have to do is follow up with my vendors, make sure everything's going well. So I always wanted to get married on a beach barefooted. That was my plan. Mm-hmm. My wife wanted to stay in Wisconsin, so we started looking for locations that would allow us to do basically both.
Yeah.
That's how we ended up on Stout's Island. We'd gone and seen a couple of locations, but then when we went up to Stout's Island, which is about 4 hours from where we live now and about 4 hours from where I grew up, so it was halfway point for all of our families too. Oh, when we got there, we were just like, this is perfect.
We brought the checkbook anticipating that's where we were booking. It might take us a while to get there, but once we know, we know.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as the rest of the vendor, I mean,
but hold on, the logistics on that, because I think that's where we go back to the question, the logistics on it.
Mm-hmm.
They had a wedding planner at the venue that they assigned to us, who quit, I think, within 3 months of us booking our wedding. Okay, we had nothing to do with
again. No, I'm sure you didn't, because venue coordinators or venue planners, like, the turnover for that job is really high.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've had many, many couples who've gone through 2 or even 3 different venue contacts over the course of a year of planning. And it's totally not weird at all.
No. To be fair, my wife might have contributed. She did ask, and I specifically remember, so are you gonna be here when we get married? Because, like, she basically was calling her to the carpet, like, I don't think you're happy in your job.
And that did happen. So when we got the new coordinator, the logistics, you know, it was really more so for me just to be able to kind of control some of those things, like getting transportation to the island.
Mm-hmm.
The venue provides it all, but we had to make sure all of our guests knew, this is when the ferries leave, this is when you have to be there, this is when you have to get on them. So with that, for logistics, it was more information is power, and making sure our guests had exactly what they needed to be able to get where they were going, and without hopefully any hiccups, which I haven't heard of any yet.
And
so
then with certain family members over the top babysitting to make sure that, all right, did you book your room? Okay, this is what time you got here. Okay, I'm only mildly going to have a heart attack. Where the F are you? You know, that kind of stuff.
But I guess this was small. We had 60 people, so it's a mm-hmm. little easier to manage 60 people than it is to manage 300.
Right? Really? Wait, you had 60 guests?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't it seem a lot bigger?
It did. I'm like, wait, there was at least 100 people there. It was...
No, it was 60.
63, I think, to be exact.
63 to be exact, including us, not including you, sorry. but no, our criteria for how to compile our guest list was, if we hadn't both met those people
mm-hmm.
in the time that we had been together in the 2 years leading up to the actual wedding, they didn't need to be there.
Wow, they hadn't, that's brilliant.
They hadn't been a part in both of our lives and of our relationship thus far. Even if it was just, you know, like, I think that exception was only your uncle.
My uncle. You'd met my aunt, but not
I'd
my
met
uncle.
Your aunt, but not your uncle, yeah. Hmm. And so.
There's another Wisconsin, Minnesota different aunt, and.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, we decided to do that, and it helped keep it smaller. for several reasons, it was really nice because then we got to actually interact with all of our guests, but simultaneously, we didn't have to pay out the ass either. So
I think that's a great way to whittle down who gets to come.
Yeah, that's good advice for people.
Yeah, because guest lists are hard, and you know, going back and forth, well, do we need to invite this person? And then our venue had limited size restrictions. I think we were allowed to have like 70 people with the options.
We could go up to 60, and there was a flex of 5. So yeah, we really maximized for the smallest size wedding that they would put. Then you could go up to 100 or like 150 plus, but that involved doing that entire open green area in the middle there. Mm-hmm. That then was all going to have to be tented. And you'd have to go from a small non-exclusive to a small exclusive or a large exclusive, which involves renting out their entire island, all 40 of their cabin rooms.
For two nights.
And that ain't cheap.
No.
So we didn't want to go that route. So we had to come up with a way to limit that guest list and both be on the same page. And I think that was really important for us to be on the same page, not let my mom control or your mom control or your sister control.
We're both controlling enough. We don't need anybody else.
That was a big for us, not letting the outside influences try to have any part in what we were doing.
I mean, that's one of the perks of having, you know, a destination wedding, and your wedding definitely qualifies as destination because, you know, it wasn't where you live and everyone traveled to the event, and, you know, you're at a resort on an island. And you had that limitation imposed on you. So it was something where you could say, sorry, we can only have 60 guests. Yeah, I totally invite you, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We also did actually put little cards in our invites because like my aunt and uncle were invited, but not my cousin. So we did put invites in or little notes in our cards that said we have a limited space. We're unfortunate, but please understand that some of your family members may not have been invited to our wedding. It's not because we don't want to share in our day with them, but because we are limited with what we can do with our guests.
And we were also explicitly clear with our guests in some of those info cards. We didn't expect any gifts. And we, that's probably us singularly. Mm-hmm. But we flat out said, you know, we understand you're going to be taking on costs to come and share in our day. Please do not feel like you have to get us anything.
That's awesome.
Because we didn't want them. We knew that it was going to be a cheap date for anybody to come and actually share in that anyways. And we just wanted people there with us.
And to make sure that our guests didn't overextend their guest list, we very clearly made out their RSVP cards for them so they couldn't add additional people. Like, these are clearly the people that you can bring with you.
Yeah.
No more, no less.
And
or less if they wanted to.
One of the areas in which when we were going through some of the other planning stuff, like, so for instance, obviously location, we knock out venue first. Next up was photographer. And we probably also have a really interesting thought process on that. And I know Amanda, we talked to you about it when we obviously chose you. Mm-hmm. She's, again, the Google master. That's how we found Stouts Island. That's how we found you.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically look for LGBT because as you're trying to reach out to all these different vendors, you've got folks that are like a qualifying question. You're in freaking Midwest Wisconsin. You're going to darn near the North Woods, if you will, which is where we were getting married. Hey, this is a same-sex wedding. Are you okay with that? That was one of our qualifying like first or second questions.
Oh, yeah. Did you get any rejections?
No, but there are some people that
that said yes, but you kind of knew they really weren't really okay with it.
We're like, okay, our money's green, so F you.
Yeah. Know, we didn't really want anybody there that was just going to hamper us or bring us down. Like, here's your cake. You know, right. We didn't eat that.
Yeah. So she searched for LGBT photographers, and my crazy sister, as you put it, or insane, however you want to say it, she
Wait, which crazy sister?
The straight one with kids. She said flat out, you know, you're a photographer, you will not regret it. It might seem like a lot of money, but you will not regret it. And so we dedicated about 20-25% of our entire budget to making sure we got the package and everything the way we wanted it. Because for us, you can tell from this video, we're awkward as hell on video. We don't want to have that videographer. much rather have some pretty freaking pictures to look back on and be like, damn, we were perfect in that moment. Like, you don't have that awkward, ooh, I really said that, or I did trip a little on that. And that was just a personal preference. But for the actual capturing of that day, like, I can't tell you, there'll be days when we're just like, let's sit down and look at our wedding photos. They're all over our house. And
that is so cool.
Like, oh, dude, I wish we could take
you
them
can take a pic. You want to take them to the bedroom?
We're gonna take a trip. I want to show you what we did with our
super gay wedding. Is going super to the bedroom. Gay wedding
to the bedroom.
Probably where it belongs.
That's valid. All right. So, can you see behind me?
Oh my
yes.
God.
Yes.
Is that your vows?
Vows on either side. So my vows are behind me, and her vows are behind her.
That's so beautiful, you two.
Thank you.
So I'm just going to tell the people who can't see what I'm looking at. They have a photo of the two of them, which I assume is from, well, maybe it's from your ceremony. Maybe it's a different moment. Who knows? But anyway, a beautiful photo of the two of them in the middle. And then these are canvas wraps, it looks like, right? Mm-hmm. Canvas prints. And then on either side, they have their vows written out on their own big canvases right next to each other. That's really cool.
Hey, Kate.
It's a great idea.
Sorry, we're leaving the bedroom.
But the reason that I bring it up is because that's memorialized our day.
Yeah.
And there's no better way for us to think back. Like, we both frequently say we had the perfect wedding. Absolutely perfect wedding. And so being able to say in umpteen million different photos, because there was no shortage of them.
Well, I mean, we did have a great, you guys did a really good thing. You booked enough time so that mm-hmm. you planned your day in such a way that you could have a break in the middle, you know, after the ceremony, because we went on that long walk around the property, made mm-hmm. the photos in the game room with the pool table and all that, you know, and that gave you a chance to sort of just take a deep breath and absorb what had happened and make some extra fun photos. You know, a lot of couples, they schedule their days really tight, and then inevitably stuff runs behind. And you know, you end up crunched during that portrait time, because that's the thing that always is the sacrificed on a wedding day. And so you made time for it, and that's why you got all those extra amazing photos. And then you came back and had an amazing party, you know.
We did well with that part.
that thing that you did where you made sure that everyone who was there knew you both, I think really contributed to the celebration, because it really was an amazing day. You really, you know, with the toasts, the dancing, and everything that just came into it, was a lot of fun. Even though I couldn't have a drink, so I'm just
you know, that was sober as an outsider, still fun.
She totally, but I mean, I didn't feel like an outsider. That's the thing. Like, you know, it's by the end of the night, I had made friends with you know people in your lives. Not just you guys.
And those are the best weddings, aren't they?
Yeah.
They are for me. I mean, of course I want to get along with my clients and love them. And I'm lucky to now be friends with many people whose weddings I planned in the past. But I love when at the end of the day, I feel like, first of all, this wedding was exactly the right wedding for these two particular people. And also I just feel like, boy, I love their family and their friends and their community. And this is really fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. That's what I want at the end of a wedding day. And a glass of wine when I get home.
Maybe a whole lot of food.
Right. Yes.
So let's talk about something that's always tricky for same-sex weddings, and that's, what'd you wear? What'd you guys decide to wear?
You know, this was always, this wasn't even a really hard thing. We both wanted to wear dresses, mm-hmm. you know. Most little girls grow up thinking, yep, I'm going to wear a dress at my wedding. And we didn't really find any need to not do that.
Heterocentric world we live in, but it is what it is.
So we absolutely had no qualifiers on what the other one was doing. We went to the same bridal store, but we went on separate days.
Yeah.
And then we made sure there was people who were with me when I picked out my dress and people with her who picked out her dress, so we didn't end up in the same dress.
Because believe it or not, that was really honestly a possibility. Like,
that does make sense, yeah.
Yeah, we would do that. But
would that have been bad?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe.
I don't really know these rules.
I mean, I know we're
going to too matchy-matchy. Yeah. It's like, you have two grooms wear the same exact suit. I'm going to interject my personal opinion, which is that I don't like matchy-matchy stuff at all. Like, I love what you did with your wedding party, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but I don't really ever want to see an entire wedding party wearing the same thing. Yeah. I love it when people get to have their own personality in whatever way that is.
So I
totally respect the desire not to accidentally match each other.
But I ended up in a white dress. She ended up in a champagne dress. That was, again, just personal preference. We didn't say you can't wear a veil, I'm going to wear a veil. None of that. We didn't even care. Whatever's going to make you feel like the most beautiful bride on our day, do it.
And her mom went with for both of ours, and my mom was there for mine too. But it was really sweet because her mom took photos as we were trying on all of our different dresses, as trying to find the right one, and then gave them to us in little albums.
Oh, cool.
After the wedding. So I thought that was really nice and kind of a fun sentimental thing because it's all a journey.
And we refused to share the dresses with each other before the wedding.
Yep.
Yeah, you guys had a first look, and so that's the first you've seen of each other's choices.
There was a moment that I drew what I thought your dress looked like at work. I cannot draw a stick figure for the life of me. But I was kind of close. I should have saved it, but it was so hideous, I threw it away.
Oh,
we're creative
people. You guys had, actually, speaking of the first look, you had a really beautiful first look moment. I mean, because we staged it so that you were coming from around a corner of the cabin that you were getting ready in. And when you first saw each other, that was an electric moment. Do you remember? Of course.
Yes.
Remember. Yeah.
Absolutely. And like, it's so funny because she always makes fun of me for cheesing. Like I'll like geek out and get like a super big smile.
Yeah.
Like as I was coming around the corner, you caught a perfect picture of me as I'm like cheesing out hard. And like every time I look through the photos, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, it was
our first look picture is hanging on the wall over there too. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Like I said, they're all over our house.
So. Well, I mean, we coincidentally had some magic light at that moment too. It was like everything was converging. I mean, it was like you coming around that corner and then the light was really amazing. And then you guys, you both just lit up. It was really just so cool. Yep. I walked into a tree. I don't know if you saw that, but
Oh.
We need a photographer for the photographer.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing that was really hard for me because I know we were talking a little bit about schedules. I did have a schedule down to the minute. Nobody's surprised. Mm-hmm. But and that schedule didn't stay in place. No. But it did take me until probably after those first looks and we started our pictures there for me to just be able to calm down and just be like, the schedule doesn't matter. Things are going well.
Yeah.
So for me, I guess, unfortunately, our first look, yes, great, amazing moment, but I was still a little preoccupied with everything going right in the wedding at that point. Mm-hmm. We had rain in the forecast. I was freaking out about it. And it was
weeks leading up to our wedding. There's so
much. It wasn't bridezilla. I wasn't an angry person. No, but
it was just anxiety. It was just like, you know, because it's a day that we put a year's worth of planning into. Yeah. And
outdoor weddings are tricky.
Kind of said to hell with what everybody else does normally for the schedule because we did our first look, which obviously is always gonna be before the actual ceremony, but we also did all of our family's photos before the ceremony because we wanted to knock that out.
The party.
Yeah, exactly.
Wasn't that great though? Because then you had all of your chores done and you could just relax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we kind of just were like, this is what we want to do. I don't care if it's normal.
That's your dog, right?
That is the dog, yes.
Just checking.
You know, and that was one of those things, too. Just because the books say this, and we did read a lot of books about what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it, doesn't mean that's what we have to do. What fits
right.
us, what fits us best. And so there were some things that got kiboshed. Formal writing was not one of those things.
Yep,
but, you know, the certain, like, you must have this being done or you must have that being done. We were okay getting rid of those. Your father must give a speech at the wedding. Yeah, no, we didn't do that. You know, we didn't open up the floor for anybody to give speeches. We already had, you know, you're going to give a speech, you're going to give one. We already had all of that stuff.
And a lot of our friends who have planned weddings, hetero or not, have felt that necessity to have, especially again, in Wisconsin, an open bar. Mm-hmm. We're like, nope, we're buying X amount of alcohol. We'll get the, you know, quarter barrel keg, which ended up being two, but whatever. And then we're done. Everybody else can buy whatever they want. We didn't feel any additional obligation to that.
Yeah.
I think that's what it comes down to for us to be on the same page rather than letting somebody else. And it kind of goes back to the same with the guest. It not letting not only our families not dictate, but not letting society and the books and the you're supposed to do this dictating what we were doing, what worked for us, what was best for us. And I think we found that. So
And bear in mind, I mean, this is an LGBT super gay podcast here.
Super gay.
Hell be damned. I mean, I think every single one of us has been judged ever, time and time again.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to have it on
for my sure.
Day.
Right.
I'm going to throw a caution to the freaking wind. I'm going to do exactly what I want to do. And I'm going to marry my best friend and everybody else can get bent.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah. So we were talking about your wedding party briefly before. You guys had the coolest wedding party and you let them wear the coolest clothes. Let's talk about that.
So the wedding party, we ended up with 6 females standing up in our wedding. It wasn't purposeful or by design.
Right.
It was just a matter of one of those things that we're trying to pick out our wedding party. So I picked 2 people who were close to me. Mm-hmm. Andy picked 2 people who were close to her. And then we picked 2 people who were close to both of us. And it helped shape our relationship. Mm-hmm. Then we started planning themes. And super gay.
We decided to go classy rainbow.
You didn't pick the number of people for the colors. That just was a coincidence.
It was
coincidental.
Okay.
It was. Perfect. You know, and that's one of those things too, that my mom came down really hard on us. Don't you think you're kind of shoving the gay thing in everybody's face and blah, blah, blah. And I said, Mom, gay or not, I would probably want to do this. This is fun. It's bright. It's vibrant. Everybody's happy. This isn't supposed to be just like a simple, hey, pride thing. But even if it is, you're right. That is something that's important to me. My rights are very important to me. And if somebody wants to have conversations about it with me at my wedding, I will let them.
I think that's interesting because you got the tattoo.
Right.
And my mom's everybody might be surprised.
Yeah, like her mom's super supportive. It's just like, I think it was more so she felt like we might be kind of drawing people in and not know what to expect because of our invites. Like there's, again, that correlation of your invites should give your guests an idea of what to expect when they come. Mm-hmm. Our invites were kind of like, you know, I don't know if you remember them or not, but it was like black and gold. And then on the actual invite itself, there was a little bit of rainbow writing for our names.
Classy rainbow.
Yeah, classy rainbow. But then, and then the ribbon around the outside, we ended up changing it from what it came stock with white to a rainbow to, again, just kind of be like, yeah, you're going to a gay wedding.
Okay, well, two women's names on the invite should have given that away. But
yeah, that's kind of angry.
But back to our bridal party. You know, we didn't try to pick a maid of honor or anything like that. We didn't want any of our friends to feel left out. We did end up dedicating some chief bridesmaids who took over some of the more important bridal party duties.
Some were just along for the ride.
Some were just along for the ride. Picking out their dresses was interesting.
Yeah.
Tons of different body types and stuff like that. And
heights. And what we started going to different bridal places first and foremost to see if they could actually get us the colors we were looking for. Because not every red is red. Not every yellow is yellow. True. And to find those 6 colors at one store that would go together was quite difficult.
Also, at the time, one of our bridesmaids was living in Phoenix, one of our bridesmaids was living in Florida, and the rest kind of scattered tears throughout the area in Wisconsin, and so we wanted to make sure it was accessible for everybody. But we finally came to the decision on these are our 6 colors rainbow-wise.
So nice. We picked those. We picked the 6 colors themselves. We didn't let our bridesmaids pick them.
And we assigned them to the bridesmaids.
No, they kind of picked their colors.
Did they?
Yeah.
I thought we kind of assigned them to the people we thought would look best.
We kind of assigned, but then there was a couple that were like, I want to be red. So we're like, all right, you can be red. We don't care. But then we did get everybody together to the point of picking out their styles of dresses. They each were able to go with us at some point in time to the bridal store to pick out their dresses. So we actually ended up with 3 different dresses. 2 for each, 2 sets of 3 dresses?
Yeah.
No, 3 sets of 2 dresses.
3 styles, 2 dresses of each style.
Yes, that one. Even the wedding professional.
And it just so happened that one had, you know, one sleeve, one shoulder.
There was a halter, and then there was
a sleeveless. Strapless. It didn't, I mean, it wasn't even.
God, we're such lesbians.
Yeah.
Sleeveless,
strapless, whatever. It was just a matter of, and then we let our bridesmaids at that point pick out which dress they thought would look best on them.
Because we wanted everybody to be comfortable.
Yeah, everybody ended up looking really great, and the colors did flow well together. And, you know, you did a great job because nobody had like a major clash of skin tone with their color or any of that. Because I think that
which can be tricky with orange and yellow.
Yeah, especially orange and yellow.
So kudos on that.
Yeah. Thank you.
And then I can't wear either of those colors.
Oh, I'm with you. And then our bridesmaids just started being referred to as their colors.
Yep.
I am sure I've
that I remember that.
Yellow, hey, come over here.
Yep. And then like even since like I'll be like, oh mom, you remember Tara's friend from law school, Steph, you know, purple in the wedding? Like, that's how we've now.
That's kind of genius, actually.
So, and then we let them all wear flip-flops. They really loved that.
They got some rainbow chevron flip-flops. I, footwear-wise, since we're on that topic, I went spare because it's just more my style. And I demanded that Tara find herself some custom Nikes and build up the rainbow custom Nikes. They've got our September 2016 on the tongues. And for our first anniversary, we both wore our wedding shoes, and that's going to be a tradition for us.
One of those things, again, not following, like, the you must have high heels at your wedding. No, I'm going to be comfortable in my shoes. It was pretty fun getting Nikes. My dress tailored or altered.
Yeah, altered.
Yeah. I was, like, getting my Nikes to put them on. She's like, are these your wedding shoes? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, I love them.
So, like, you could totally ride these up with some sparkle jewel. I'm like, no, I'm good.
From a seamstress perspective, which is something I used to do, I freaking love it when people come in with flats or sneakers or other shoes that I know they're going to be comfortable in, because as a voice of experience, if you're a person who doesn't ordinarily wear heels and then you decide to wear them all day on your wedding, you're going to end up with a numb toe at the end of the day, or, you know, painful, whatever. Anyway, but the problem that so many people have when they come in for tailoring on their alterations on their wedding gowns is that they don't know what height to hem their dress to, because they know they're not going to keep those freaking high heel shoes on all day long. So they come in and they're like, well, should I hem it for my high heels or should I hem it for my flats? And I'm like, I can't make this decision for you. Also, why don't you just wear your flats all day? Because nobody can see your shoes under this dress anyway.
Right. Yep.
Too funny.
That's my shoe tangent. Okay. Wear comfortable shoes. Break your shoes in.
We had, like, really close male friends in our bridal party. We would have just dressed them up in suits that match the color themes.
Right.
Sure.
But it just didn't work. I mean, we could have picked, like, a friend with her husband or whatever. No,
that wasn't the point. No. When we were picking our bridal party, it was who has helped shape our relationship the most, who has been the most supportive of it,
and
who's going to continue to be the most supportive of it going forward. Because we didn't want those people in our wedding that we'd look back on, like, what was her name again? Do you remember her? Like, we tried to avoid that.
Which one of your cousins is that?
Yeah. Is that your husband, your brother's first wife or his second? Like, no, we didn't need that.
Guys are starting to sound like Southern people now.
I have 17 bridesmaids. We're getting married in Alabama. Oh, I'm sorry.
So we've covered the fact that you guys think your wedding day went really well, and we all agree that your wedding day went really well. So is there anything that you would have done differently?
Nothing.
I love that.
Only thing, it's because I'm a hangry woman. My wedding food warm. That's the only thing.
Your wedding food wasn't
warm? But I still
warm?
Got to eat. No.
We were all too taking much fun pictures taking with photos you.
Whenever, because I think we got our food out first, and we should have communicated that to them. That's the only thing we could have changed was serve everybody else first and then not. But I think they assumed that they should get the food to us first.
Yeah. The caterers always do. And sometimes there aren't very many circumstances in which I wouldn't want the people getting married to be fed first, because
we were taking
usually if I plan a timeline though, like I make sure that food service isn't happening when photos are happening.
Well, I think we
were trying generally, but
it a little bit. So that's you know, the caterer didn't screw up. It's really just that we decided.
We were trying to catch sunset.
Yeah,
it's just Amanda fucking it all up for the beautiful pictures.
Damn photographer, God.
Totally worth it though. Trust me, the meal totally wouldn't have been that good.
Like, and
that,
like I said, like I literally.
Oh, I believe it.
Pick.
You know, we got some really great random photos on your day, by the way. Like the guy with the
Doug.
The boat driver, Doug.
Boat driver, Doug.
And then the weird random guy jumping off the roof of the building into the lake. I don't even know what that was about. I was just like,
he was grabbing a tent that had fallen off the boat.
Yeah. The ferry had dropped a tent into the lake. He had to go get it. Mm-hmm. And it was October, or it was end of September, almost October. I mean, it was not warm out. That dude was jumping into some pretty cold lake water.
Yeah.
Wow. So everything was perfect, and you wouldn't do anything differently. No, which is awesome.
We had like such a good time. Like sometimes we talk about like, man, I wish we could go back to that day. And then we both always ultimately decide no, because not everything would have gone right. You know, like I freaked out about our cake because I was having a really hard time conveying like, this is what I want on our cake, and actually thinking that somebody could do it. And then our cake showed up and I was like, this is beautiful. This is exactly what I wanted. That's so awesome. I don't think there's anything I would have changed.
Nope.
we made sure we gave ourselves enough time to get to our venue 2 days early, so we weren't stressing about making sure we arrived. We stayed another day later just to make sure. We pushed our honeymoon out a day, so we didn't have to rush to try to get to an airport and transport gifts and blah blah blah. We had everything pretty planned post.
I can't really blame you, because that was such a great place to hang out. I mean, it's on my list of places to go back to.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Let us know. You know, bear in mind, it's only open, though, from April through
October. I think, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm definitely taking Jesse there at some point. You know, this year's not going to work out because we're going to end up in California this year for our vacation, but not too long, another year or two.
They have a ginormous Scrabble board in the lobby, so if you guys get into Scrabble.
Really? Oh, yeah. That's my game.
Giant, awesome, like that fireplace. Hard fireplace. Mm-hmm. There are a couple different little tables, and they have a bunch of different games, and actually it's still the background on my phone. It's a picture of our hands with our rings on top of the Scrabble board. And I think, neat. I don't remember what we spelled out, but she kicks my butt every time we play.
No, we, because we had a fire pit after our wedding.
A nerd.
Yeah, right. We had a fire after our wedding down at one of the fire pits. And so we were probably up until like 3 a.m. We went to bed and legitimately we were both up at 6, wide awake.
What?
Yeah. So we got up and we played Scrabble while everybody else was still sleeping.
Oh my God.
Like adrenaline junkies. It's just like when we first met, like we would literally get like 2 to 4 hours of sleep a night. And when the baby gets here, it'll be the same.
We were just.
At least you're well trained.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, since you mentioned the baby, congratulations.
Yay!
I am so excited.
We are too.
Pictures
over.
And you said you were doing October?
October, yep.
Mm-hmm. That's the best month to have a baby because it's not hot.
It's not hot. That's what that, yeah, except all summer when I'm pregnant is I'll get out. I mean, I'm not looking forward to that. Ugh. But
you'll be fine. We got air conditioning.
We'll be fine.
Just be like, just do like we do here in Georgia. And it's like, you know, you just open the door and run like hell to the next air-conditioned space. Do not breathe. Do not slow down. Just get in the car. Turn it on.
Do not collect $200. Yes.
That is how we survive here. It's just air-conditioned space to air-conditioned space.
Stay inside. Put your feet up. Get through your Netflix queue. You know, that's real baby prep right there.
Mm-hmm. Napping.
Napping and Netflix binging. I know, so almost I swear every single person I know who's had a baby in the last 5 years has made it through several full TV shows in the first couple of months between baby feedings and naps and whatever. They're just like, I'm tired, this baby's asleep on me, if I move this baby will wake up, guess I'll watch some Netflix.
Yeah, you guys are making me want to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Really?
No, not a chance. No way.
I'm waiting for that.
You can get the same result just by adopting a baby.
I raised three already. I'm done.
I'm good.
I'm set. They're gone now. We are partying.
Hey, if we can nail the kid raising as good as we did our wedding, we'll be happy.
I have every confidence that you guys are going to do an amazing job.
Indeed.
So, speaking of your amazing job, do you have any advice that you want to give to other couples who are planning their weddings right now?
And it's something that every single person I've ever talked to that's gotten married has told me and told me up until the day of our wedding. Be present.
Yeah.
Don't worry. And honestly, the only thing I worried about that entire day was worrying about her worrying. So we had that separated cabin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the entire day, I'm like, how's her doing? Is she doing okay? I thought for sure she was anxious. Mm-hmm. And really everybody kept saying, no, she's doing good. I'm like, are you being real with me right now?
They weren't lying to you.
But no, she was good and I was good. But that's the only thing I worried about. And I just wanted to make sure that everything happened the way that it was supposed to happen for us. So I guess just have faith that, you know, really it's all about love on that day.
Yeah, because even if it's not exactly how you planned it, you're gonna always look back on that day that it's perfect, because you're married to your best friend, you did what you wanted to do that day. I think for me, besides the be present, because obviously that's all wishy-gushy and good and important, it is
feelings, gross, she doesn't
for me it's not waiting until the last minute, trying to track down things at the exact last minute to make sure that your wedding is ready to go, like the night before, making sure the florist is showing up or whatever, that causes a lot of stress and anxiety, which doesn't allow you to be present.
Right.
So for us, by having our stuff planned earlier than the night before, the week before, even the month before, allowed us to be able to just be excited that we were getting married in, you know, 2 weeks, a week, 3 weeks, or whatever it was. It just gave us that, hey, we're getting married in a week. Mm-hmm. Like, are you so excited? Because we weren't worried about anything.
So were you really done 6 months out?
Oh, we were pretty impulse, yeah. If it wasn't six, it was 5.5.
All right.
Some people actually manage that.
Yeah.
I've had a few clients who've been, that I've done coordination for, that have been basically done when they hired me.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. And those people usually have the most chill and relaxed weddings, and they make my life easier. So.
And that's why I'm not saying plan everything.
Thank you.
Earlier, but you know, give yourself
a
few weeks in there just to embrace the fact that you're getting married.
Right.
And I know for me, I think another thing that really rang true the entire time we were selecting all of the different vendors was, it's actually something you said, Amanda, when we were talking about originally potentially hiring you and as our photographer, and you said, you need to be comfortable with me. I'm going to be the one that's, you know,
yeah,
I can't force a fake smile. But I took that across the board. It wasn't just with you. It was with every single person. I wanted to make sure that whether it was our florist, who, by the way, was amazing.
Yeah.
The flowers were beautiful. And she was
Classy rainbow, too.
They were classy rainbow, too. And she was so kind and caring, mm-hmm, and really genuinely wanted to make sure our day was awesome. Our band, they were super cool.
Yeah,
like, we didn't actually meet them, but we creepily snuck and watched him perform
in the cities
one night.
Twin Cities, Minneapolis. Yeah, sorry.
And then, like, we made sure. And when it came to the cake lady, the first people we tried out, we weren't comfortable with them. Like Tara said, we could just tell that they were not. While they might say they were cool, they weren't cool. And right. So we're like, nope, deuces. And we went on to the next place.
They wanted our money, but not our happiness for us. And that was something that was really important.
I don't even think it was a gay thing, really. Yeah.
Some people are just jerks like that.
Yeah.
And so we didn't settle. And we made sure that we felt like each person that was going to be a part in our day, mm-hmm, that we were going to be giving our hard-earned money to, was actually excited to be a part of our day.
Right.
Not just get our money.
Right. You don't have to say yes to the first vendor you come across. There are a ton of wedding vendors. You guys know that. You guys are in the wedding industry.
Yeah.
So the first person, if you don't like them or they're not 100% what you want, go to somebody else. Trust me, if you go back to that first person, because after you've gone to three more, you're like, I really like that first one, they're still going to take your business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's actually our last question. So
perfect.
You guys love your vendors, so you would refer other LGBT clients to those vendors in your area for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Which, you know, because we kind of did have that destination wedding, all of our vendors traveled. You, I think, were probably the only one out of state. No, our band was from Minnesota.
Okay.
All of our vendors were willing to travel, and because we were in really small town Minnesota, we did have to ask that. Hey,
you are from small town Minnesota.
Well, we were in small town Wisconsin. We did have to ask, are you guys all good with, you know, the gay stuff? And that was, it was an awkward question, but it was, I think, for us, an important question.
Definitely.
If you don't want to be okay with us, we don't need you to do it.
Yeah. And honestly, it's a little bit, we won't get into the politics of it being a little sad that we still got to ask that question, but better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
I'd rather call it the carpet and just be like, hey, by the way, you being gay, because it's gonna be two chicks getting married that day, and then move on to the next. Our florist was amazing, Lacey. She's in Eau Claire. I would recommend her in a heartbeat.
Absolutely, every single one of our vendors. There's not a one I would say no to.
Yep, and I think you got most of them linked in the blog.
I do on your blog post, and we're gonna list them in this in the show notes for the show too, so that everyone can find them.
Yeah, every single one of them.
Andy's crazy insane sister was our wedding performer. What are those people called?
The officiant?
Thank you. So, I mean, if somebody's looking for a fun
pregnancy
crazy
brain, leave her alone, Amanda.
2 weeks ago. I love what she did for your ceremony. It was beautiful. Your ceremony was awesome. I mean, coming in with that maze and everything about your day was amazing to me, actually.
Good.
Yeah. But, you know, personally, and you know, as a wedding vendor, I shouldn't say stuff like this probably, but at the same time, I love when people choose to have someone in their lives officiate their ceremony.
Me too.
Right? It's so much better. And having
it's so much more personal.
Yes. Having your sister officiate. I mean, because there's this one photo of her during the ceremony where she's looking at you guys, and there's so much love in her eyes, you know. And that is why you should have someone. I mean, even if you're having a church wedding, and you know, you have, you know, maybe it's the person who, you know, is your minister from childhood or whatever. Just having someone there who knows you. And is invested in bringing you together. That makes such a huge difference in the ceremony rather than somebody just reciting some crap from a book.
She did amazing.
Yeah.
She did amazing. Absolutely amazing.
That was one thing I really had to let go of, to not like write her a script and be like, say this. So I really had to relinquish some control there. And just let her.
It's hard, isn't it?
Oh, yes. You don't even know how many times I was like, do I need to give your sister a script? Is she ready? Do I need to give her a script? And I didn't. So
one of my closest friends officiated our wedding when I got married, and I made a Google Doc script, and his wife is a writer, and the three of us, I have no idea how many hours either of them put into writing and editing, but I know that I personally spent like some ridiculous number of hours scouring the internet for the best passages, changing them so they read the way I wanted them to, and like doing a whole thing and then editing it and letting him add his stuff. And
I think the generic form of,
but yeah, it's really great to have someone who really knows you and cares deeply about you officiate your ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And there are
get her officiant,
some
or
what
really easy to get her license to be an officiant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
it's a really easy thing to do.
Yeah. It's very easy almost everywhere. Yeah.
That's good to know.
Mm-hmm. At least in the US.
The only thing for us with that was,
because I'm married to a family law attorney.
That's very true. I do divorce, divorce law too. So, but that was, yeah.
So you have a solid prenup, and
no, we did talk about it though. Legit,
we actually don't have one. I figure if this is headed for divorce, well, it's not.
So. I'm entitled to my half.
Anyways, let me get back to the officiant thing. Because we did kind of have a destination wedding, the wedding licensing is obviously something that I think is really important to make sure that you're getting done right, especially if you're having a family member or somebody who doesn't do this on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Because we live in Brown County. We got married in Barron County. Our wedding certificate or our wedding license, after we got it in Brown County, because we had to get it where we lived, we had to file it in the county we got married in. So we had to, and our officiant had to file it, not us. So,
because that's that county's rule.
It's the state's rule.
Yeah, and then that's different because a lot of places you have to get the license and file it in the county where your wedding is, not which may or may not be the county where you live. So,
right.
Yeah, you definitely want to check into all those rules and maybe make a phone call or two to your vital records bureau or whatever it is called.
Legal schmeagle at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
We took her sister over to the Barron County Clerk of Courts before we flew out on our honeymoon. We drove her there and we're like, okay, file this for us.
We had 7 copies of our marriage certificate.
Drove her there.
Yeah. So, and that's something, you know, that you don't really think about, because if we would have just left on our honeymoon, we would have been SOL.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So they have to file it in person there.
No, you could have mailed it in.
Okay.
But it would have been.
You still got to make sure you're hitting those time limits. And I didn't want to send her sister home with them and be like, make sure you send these out in 3 days.
Right.
You know, and then her going, oh, I forgot to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was.
Yeah. And, you know,
about.
If you want a way around that, you can always just go do the legal thing either right before or right after you have your wedding, and then not worry about making your friend officiant have to do legal stuff. Right. So
that's true.
But a lot of people that do that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, obviously call up your local judges and one of them will do it pretty affordably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you just want to make sure you know what the rules are and
follow them.
Well, thanks you guys for doing this with us.
Thanks,
it was so good to see you again. I'm excited to see you in May.
Yes.
When is that again? Okay.
I don't remember. May something. I'll email you.
We'll touch base later.
Yeah.
And we might be planning a trip down to Georgia in July.
Ah, that would be super cool too.
Kind of like a baby moon / maternity shoot.
And you want to do that in a really hot state in the middle of the summer?
Sure.
Like, did they say pregnant women glow?
Yes. Yeah.
They glow. They radiate.
That will make me real glowy. That's
what I'm going for. Extra glow. That's all it is. It's not sweaty.
Amanda will find you somewhere beautiful that's air conditioned.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We have some great hotels here.
Seeing that one.
Cool.
Well, it was awesome meeting you, Cindy. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, you too.
It's awesome what you guys are doing here. You know, these types of resources, because we were those people who really looked for resources and tried to find what we were doing, are not overly readily available. So
yeah.
Were there any, I'm going to add a question. Were there any specific ones that you found really helpful while you were planning?
That is a good question.
No.
None.
We ended up with some books about planning same-sex weddings and stuff. And even those, not overly helpful.
Like one of them, weirdly, it was like from the 90s, like early yeah. 90s. Like
really?
We were in grade school. Yeah. It was like pretty dated looking.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's, you know, I think it's just like, again, it's finding those people that you're comfortable with listening to, mm-hmm. talking to, or whatever you're doing when you're planning. It was not an easy thing for us.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what you guys are doing is awesome.
So basically, yeah, you guys were the pioneers, mm-hmm. and what we're doing is taking the information that you gathered and making sure people have access to it. That's the whole point of what we're doing here.
Awesome. Love it.
Thank you for helping us.
Thank you for doing it.
Thanks, you too.
Have a good one. Guys. Bye, guys.
Bye.
There's a Wisconsin guy.
Oh, geez.
Guys.
Thanks for listening to the Super Gay Wedding Podcast.
If you'd like to learn more about us, be on the show, or tell us what we should talk about next,
check us out at supergaywedding.com.
Find us at facebook.com/supergaywedding.
Or email us at supergaywedding@gmail.com.
And if you need a bomb-ass wedding planner who totally has her shit together and is wicked competent, then you need to check out Cindy's website at islesstraveled.com.
And if you need a destination photographer who's not afraid to get her camera dirty capturing your wedding adventure, then you should get your ass over to amandasummerlin.com.
And by the way, if you hire us both, we're going to give you a 5% discount.
Because we're fucking awesome.
And we love working together.
And we will rock your wedding. Super gay wedding! Fuck yeah!
Woo! Nailed that shit. Super gay wedding.
Fuck yeah.
There's a Wisconsin guy.
Oh, geez.